This morning, I want to talk about community. I want to talk about how hard it is to remember that we need it, especially when we're not feeling its benefits. Sometimes we're in community for others, rather or in more degree than for ourselves. In Christian community, we learn that faith is personal, but not private. In Christian community, we practice giving and receiving grace. This past Thursday, five of us went to the Reverend Emily Richards' funeral, which was held at St. Thomas in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. The Reverend Emily Richards was the associate rector here from 2005 to about 2009, or maybe it's 2006 to 2009, somewhere right around there. And then she moved to Pennsylvania and was a rector of a church there, and then became the priest in charge at St. Thomas White Marsh, which happens to be the church I was at before I came here. So, in the decision to go, in some way, I was going for myself. I've missed out on funerals of other important non-family folks in my life, and I didn't want to deny myself the opportunity to mourn with others. I wanted to be with other people as we recounted her life and shared in the scripture and in song. And indeed, thank goodness, St. Thomas had Kleenex boxes in every single pew. I know I saturated eight of them, and I was commiserating with other people at the wad that all of us had. So five of us set out, Peter and Lori, Liz and Nancy and I. But we learned early on, or at least I did, that this trip was not just for me. Turns out that our driver is a believer and was eager to share in stories of faith. In fact, as we loaded up the minivan here in the parking lot, he said, "Do you want to pray before we start the drive?" And I said, "Sure." And so we prayed. And in the 3 hour or so ride down, we shared with each other hardships and joys, challenges and discoveries over all of these times. Photos were on the phone, wisdom from parenting and marriage, remembering this community, people who have showed up for us and one another in the times of hardship and challenge in our own lives, recounting things in years past that have happened here through St. Stephen's. And each thing became a testimony of God's faithfulness or a prayer of petition for God's guidance and care. And I realized that this was more than just for me. Indeed, at Reverend Emily's service, there was a big crowd, as you might imagine, and I know some of you tuned in online. There were probably about 40 clergy vested to process in her funeral. It was as if each of us came for one of our own fallen heroes, a servant of God who was in active service to God's church as a priest at the time of her death. And then we realized, or I realized anyway, that we were all there also so that when the people offering the remembrances, her two brothers and her husband, when they looked out, they could see us for them, her family and friends who support them in carrying their sorrow, a life ended way too young at 52 years. This wasn't the only occasion in my week where I remembered that community, Christian community, is not just for me. Michael and I stood in line for a visitation of one of his colleagues whose husband died unexpectedly after a very brief stint in the hospital, a man of only 46 years old, leaving three children behind. And we liked to be in that line with all the other people circling the funeral home because we wanted the grieving wife and children, the remaining brother and parents, to see all of us be there for them. We wanted them to know that we honor and support them in their sorrow. And then today at 2 p.m., we will gather together to celebrate Sandra Benty's life. And we will show up, perhaps for ourselves, but also for her family, so that they know that we valued her. We knew her too and witnessed her life, and we will stand witness to them, to the goodness of her, and help them carry their sorrow. Christian community isn't just for us. It's not a commodity. If we want to talk about community, we have to talk about it outside of the marketplace construct, which dominates our value system. In other words, we often value things based on what they do for us and what they give us. And we give up time and money based on that very equation. But Christian community is different. It is impossible to fit within this marketplace construct. Christian community is something all of us make together, for all of us, all of the time. And it feels particularly personal some of the time. This can be a challenge to remember. The dominant culture narrative emphasizes individualism. That's where we're expected to focus our attention again and again. Even in noble terms, we'll phrase it in such a way as, be the change you want to see in the world. Yes, and. Culturally speaking, we've discarded belonging to a certain group considerably. It simply doesn't register to us in any substantial way. There are very few societal norms, very few societal expectations of belonging to community. I'm reminded of this when an older gentleman who, is in his 80s, I think, told me of a time when he was going for a particular position of some level of prestige and responsibility, and a friend of him said to him, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And he's like, "No." I'm like, "We got to get you into one. We don't do that anymore." Furthermore, Protestantism elevates the personal experience. No shame or problem with that. That was the whole emphasis in the Protestant Reformation, that people could read the scriptures for themselves, that they didn't need the church to be a conduit between them and God, that people could pray and study. It was intended to help us remember that God is accessible to us. And we have times and occasions of a physiological experience of our faith, maybe some moment even in your life in the middle of the night or in some odd kind of situation where you knew God was real to you. No one can take that away. In Christian community, we learn that faith is personal, but not private. In Christian community, we practice giving and receiving grace. And our two passages of scripture appointed for today highlight these two points. In our gospel lesson in Mark's gospel, this man who is the evil spirit driven out of him definitely benefited from that. Oh my gosh, what liberation, what joy, what freedom. His life was changed forever. And so were everyone else's lives changed through him. Witnessing that experience, we hear in the gospel text that people say, "Who is this? A teacher, a new teaching and with authority." Yes, this is a marvel and a quandary, a curiosity filled people. Who is this? The scribes, you see, were like teachers, like anybody might be a teacher. They knew which books and who to study, what teachers to follow, and they would interpret those for the next people who didn't know that yet. They had a lot of authority. But Jesus had a different kind of authority. This is the one that could drive out unclean spirits. This is the one that could settle the waves on the water. Time and again, Jesus was demonstrated in a new way, and it was changing everybody's experience of who God is. In Christian community, we learn that faith is personal, but not private. When something happens to one of us, it becomes good news for all people. The other piece that we remember is that we pray for one another because praying for them changes us. Their prayers, their requests, and how we carry them to God, God will answer them however God sees best. But in our praying, we begin to understand and gain a greater understanding of who God is in relationship to all of us. In other words, community benefits us even when we're not getting something from it. Additionally, we learn that in community, we get to learn about and practice grace. In this passage of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, you can see that people are coming into this new community with different perspectives, and they're having to deconstruct their theological framework from before. That's familiar, right? This is a lot of what people do, especially if they've come from a very extreme and very specific faith upbringing. They have to take it apart and say, really, do these two things always have to go together? If they separate them out, does the good thing still exist? And that's what people were wrestling with. That's what Paul is responding to, so we can assume that's what they were wrestling with. There were some people there that were trying to make sense of whether or not they could eat the meat that had been given to idols, because they'd always been told they couldn't. It meant something if they did. But in this new community, those rules don't apply, and yet something inside of them just twinged a little bit. On the other side, there were people that said, look, this is no big deal. Why are you bothered? Get over it. You know it's not a big deal. And Paul is speaking to them to say, look, offer grace to the people who are working through it. Make some accommodation for them as they start to get the hang of this new way. Don't beat them with your knowledge. We want to offer one another grace. And the same is true even in our context. We too still have ongoing conversations about what things mean and the significance of them. Some people will say you should dress up to go to church. They want to because it helps them remember they're not at the grocery store. They want to feel like they went to the place where they were worshiping. They want to dress in a way that reflects that they have a spirit of worship. Good. Then there are people that say, look, you should be able to come as you are. God knows everything already anyway. Outfit isn't going to change anything. Crocs, flip-flops, doesn't matter. Shorts. Right. How do we create a community that allows people to do both things? And how do we allow that kind of conversation that can accept it wherever it is? This could be true also with communion, whether it's wine or grape juice, whether it's a chalice that everybody shares or two different things because of particular sensitivities, whether we stand or whether we kneel. All of it, yes, yes, yes. How do we allow Christian community to increase our grace so that we can share it with one another? And how are we hospitable to all the perspectives and understandings which come together for our common worship? How do we love one another in our differences? I'm going to return again to the Reverend Emily Richards, because she did this particularly well. Emily demonstrated with her life that in Christian community, we learn that faith is personal, but not private. In Christian community, we practice giving and receiving grace. Those of you that remember when Emily came here, you'll recall that this space was not designed for her. She had a couple of different health things from the very early months of her life that stunted her limbs and made it so that some of her joints didn't bend. And so all of these stairs everywhere, she couldn't get there. You remember, I'm sure, the ramp that was put out front, not code to ADA compliance, but enough to eliminate that step. And there was a little raise here behind the altar that someone had to lift her onto so she could reach the altar. People had to carry her. Someone had to carry her up here to the pulpit because she couldn't get here. And all of a sudden, everything was being reoriented. People began to recognize, oh, we're not ready. How have we opened ourselves to physical difference in this space? How would anyone who can't do stairs know that they could come here? And her personal experience became a private testimony. It became a public testimony. That God is in and through all people, and she demonstrated in her life that very truth. And she practiced giving and receiving grace, for she needed the grace of others in order to move up a stair. And she gave grace to others as they wrestled with their own internal sensitivities about something like that. She was focused on welcoming all people because she was part of the all people. And she brought that to people's attention again and again just through being present. This was the thing brought up over and over again in her service. How hospitable she was and welcoming to all people. When we practice living in community, our success relies on gracefulness, being full of grace. Our success relies on our ability to live with grace, in grace, as recipients of grace and as agents of it. And it does not originate within ourselves. We can only be successful to the extent that we remember that we are the product of grace, God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. It's what got you in this door. And when you come into this space and you remember again that it's God's grace that brought you here, then that flows through you to one another. Reverend Emily's signature line included two words, grace abides. Let us abide in grace so that it may abide in and around us. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.